Hi everyone, and welcome to the Say As It Is with Pete podcast series. I'm Pete, your host, and each week I will bring you some frank and honest conversations covering various topics from learning and development, friendships, funding, HR, strengths, recruitment, ESG, well-being, ED&I, employability, and much, much more. So let's get this week's episode underway and say as it is. Howdy and welcome to an episode of Say As It Is with Pete. And yes, it has been a while that I've done an episode, and apologies, I have been extremely busy dealing with some personal issues in my own personal life, and I have been dealing with that. So those that know, I've been doing quite a lot of that side, so I've had to take some personal time out, and work has been extremely busy also. So I have been quiet on LinkedIn, so altogether on social media I've been a little bit quiet, but never say the least, I'm back. And in this week's episode, as we carry on with season three, it's time to pick up on some things. So there's lots of things coming. I'm going to be looking at things in regards to the recent updates on Ofsted, the ESFA, the levy with the new Labour Party, and how that is perceived to be looked at, and some interesting changes that are due to come. So there's lots of interesting episodes over the coming weeks, so we will be back up and running on a usual schedule, as I would like to get season three and season four out of the way before the end of the year, hopefully, or maybe going into season, halfway through season four in early December, January time. So without further ado, let's crack on. So this week's episode is going to be looking at AI. Yes, artificial intelligence. Now, I think I've touched on this before on a previous episode, but I want to touch on it again because, look, I see a lot of uptake on how AI is being used in the wonderful world of business, education, and various other formats in the different sectors and industries you work at. Now, believe it or not, people, AI has been around for a very, very long time. It's just more come to the forefront where AI is becoming a little bit more automative, and how we're using it a lot more, and how it's evolved a little bit. So AI is been in our phones for a long time. AI has been used in websites and technology for some time. So for example, it's always very clever when you're searching things, as it has all these AI algorithms. So all these algorithms are continuously learning about you. So as we all know, the Alexa sometimes doesn't listen to you and gives you recommendations on things you've said. Sometimes your phones are listening, believe it or not, because I remember having a conversation with our HR department about something, and then from that day, every other post or Instagram story that I saw referred to a certain word or topic. So yes, your phones are always learning about you, and that's why on an internet search it's always going to give you suggested recommendations based on your search, or suggested shopping history based on what you're looking at, or if you've just spent more than 15 to 20 seconds on something, stopped and looked at something, it's going to think that you are interested in that, so it's going to keep recommending things. So there's things that I've looked at, for example, where I spent 10 seconds on an Instagram story that I was kind of caught my eye and was kind of watching, thinking, let me see what this says, and then like every other post is something relating to that. And I remember doing that on TikTok, and it annoyed me so much, because I watched one thing and then every other post was about that, and it drove me insane. So I stopped using TikTok, but obviously you use Instagram, and Instagram is kind of the same thing, so it keeps suggesting. But AI is always learning. Now, I did see this Instagram post from this guy that said, you know, it shouldn't be called AI, it should be called AL. It's artificial learning, it's not intelligent. Because I would agree, the term AI, artificial intelligence, throws up a conjure of different things. But I think AI should be called AL. AL. So AL is actually learning. Now, if you look at things like ChatGPT and things, it's only up to date with the most current things. So it's a certain point where all the information is inputted. So it could be up till December 2023 or April 2024, for example. And that's as far as it's got on the available access to data and information it has from that date backwards. Now, some AIs are getting a little bit more clever, as in they are opening up and designing the AI to search current topics and websites to help it learn more and give you more accurate information. So for example, there is, apart from ChatGPT, which has ChatGPT 4 Turbo, which lets you search the internet, get relevant information, there's also a AI tool called Perplex, and Perplex is more of that current search engine type. So I was led onto this by my CEO for the company I work for, and he is always watching TikTok videos, so he always sees these wonderful things and then comes into the office and says, did you know this? And it's like, no, I didn't really know this one, but hey, I'm learning something new. So he's finding out, then he's coming to see how it fits in with the business and where we can use it. And there is that fear of people saying, yeah, but if you do that, you're replacing jobs. No, you're not. You still need a human being at the end of the day. So when it comes to teaching education, you just can't rely on AI. Some people say AI is as good as Wikipedia. Now, we as teachers and trainers know that when you're looking for sources, don't use Wikipedia, because Wikipedia isn't always the best source of information. So AI is sometimes as good as it is with the information provided. It does, as I say, with Perplex, it does pull relevant information, but Perplex is more of a, tell me more about this topic. I want to learn more about this. Can you tell me this? What's the current statistics of this? What's the current news events on this topic? You know, so it will give you that kind of search engine, whereas ChatGPT is more varied in what it can do and how you can use it. So it's more about how you're using the artificial intelligence, or AL, because for me it's artificial learning. It's learning from what you do. It's learning from the prompts or the conversations you have, and it's continuously learning. So from all the thousands upon millions of people that are using these platforms, we're helping it to learn, and by learning it's providing with the relevant or current information. And some of the things have got better in its searches and its responses. For example, ChatGPT standard version, the translation wasn't that great when it comes to translating, but on the ChatGPT 4 Turbo, translation is amazing. Oh my god, it's amazing. I've run it through people in the office and they're like, okay, even when we've done the we talk to it and it talks back to us, it's amazing. But again, one thing that I would say with AI is that you've got to use it in the right way. Many people use it very simple as, oh, tell me this, tell me that. But if you want to get some, make it really productive and really get some really good use out of it, it's the prompts that you use and how you put the prompt in. And the prompt, or also known as the instruction, is you telling the AI what you want. So for example, you could say, I am a teacher of a classroom that teaches 12 to 14 year olds in the UK. We're currently looking at biology. Please could you give me more information on how I can create a fun and interactive but also engaging and challenging session for my class for the age groups provided, making each lesson relevant to the age groups that I'm delivering to. Could you also include any quizzes, activities, icebreakers, anything that you feel is relevant? Can you help with that? Hit enter and it will give you a plethora of answers and a plethora of stuff. And if there's one activity you really like, you might say to it, using the activity, bum, 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 please could you create this for me with a marking or grading system? And it creates it. And I'm not going to lie, I've used chat AI for several years now, and it helps a lot, but I'm still using it as a kind of assistant. So for me, AI is more of an assistant rather than a replacement. So, and I think that's the key thing, is how I'm using it to, you know, give me some foundation to some things, or I might have an idea and I might throw it in there and say, I have this idea, what do you think? What, you know, and I can have that conversation with it and bounce my ideas off, because some people don't get me. There's only one or two people that really get me, and I really have to bounce my ideas off people. And then sometimes those people aren't in the office or around and I can't get hold of them. So ChatGPT becomes my friend in some ways. Oh, I know that's sad, but it becomes my friend in some ways because I'm bouncing around ideas with it and it's throwing things at me that I didn't think about, or I'm throwing things in and it's kind of giving me a more rational and more logical approach to it. So it does help me in some elements. So I love it. Absolutely love it. It's fantastic. And it helps me create responses to emails in a polite manner. So if I keep getting emailed by someone for a sales thing, I can copy in the email and say, I've received this response, but I don't want to be involved in it. Can you give a short but blunt response that's assertive and informs the person that I'm no longer interested without being rude? Throws back an answer. I can copy that and paste it into an email and send it. But please be careful when you copy and paste from ChatGPT, just because you can tell it's from ChatGPT sometimes. So yeah, ChatGPT is a friend, and it should be used as a friend and a support mechanism because it gives you that information you need and can help you set foundations. But obviously, it's restricted in some areas. Now, there's different AIs for different things. So there is a HR advisory AI or chat AI that is based fundamentally on HR. But again, that's still in beta testing, it's still learning. It does provide some really interesting information, which is clear and accurate, I give you that. It's not there just yet, but it's still learning. And this is the thing. For example, I asked it about a case law in relation to employment history, to employment law, and it wasn't able to give me any case law history because it's not got any to work on or to reference, for example. But it's still in the early stages, so it's still learning at the moment. So although it's good, you know, they're still using your brain and your knowledge and your skills and your behaviors that you know in a world of HR. And I'm glad I know my HR, because and I know where I can pull upon the experts if I'm not sure, just to make sure that I'm on the right lines and I'm not putting myself in any awkward situations or putting the company that I work for into any unnecessary predicaments, as we should say. But as I say, AI is actually should be called AL, artificial learning, because again, it's only learning from me. And you'll see that sometimes from the conversation or the thread, they call it. So you start a conversation and or a thread, and you're asking and talking and talking, and it's learning from what you're putting in, and it's summarizing and it remembers what you said. So it's always good. So and it's getting that right prompt or instruction to help you what you want. Now, there may be many a times where I've sat in the office and said to people, and they go, oh, I don't get a lot from it. And I go, well, are you using the right instructions or prompt? What do you mean? So I think it's us educating. There's two sides to this. One is AI is learning all the time from us, which is good. And it's only as good as the information that is currently up to date in its database. And secondly, we're learning from AI because we are learning how to use AI effectively and correctly to make it more functional and efficient and productive for us. Now, AI is not going to replace everything. You know, it's there as a learning tool and it can learn from things. So, for example, somebody mentioned about, oh, what about if you create your own right to work AI bot or chatbot where you can upload an ID and it can tell you whether it's false or fake or whether it's, you know, it's right or okay to use. Now, that's great and you can create one, but you need thousands upon thousands of different types of ID that are current, that are past and current, and also relevant, but also you need fake versions as well. You need to tell it what you're looking for. You need lots of it, and you need thousands upon thousands upon thousands and hundreds of IDs, good and fake, for it to learn from it, to then be able to tell you whether that document that you are then using to upload or use as a right to work document is actually fake or real. So, as I say, for example, if you try and create that with AI, it is going to take a lot for it to learn whether that document is right or not. And it's learning. As I said, this is a learning tool. We all talk about learning. It's learning itself. So the basis of this, say as it is look, when we talk about AI, use it as your kind of your buddy. You know, your AI has been on your phone and in your pocket for years, okay? It's been learning from you. It's been on Facebook. It's been on Instagram. is in TikTok. It's learning about you. It's even the Alexa that you've got at home, or the Google Dot that you've got at home. It's learning about you. And you're helping it learn by the inputs and the information you provide it. So if, for example, you say, you know, I need to know about XYZ, gives you saying, you say, well, that's not actually what I was looking for, I need to buy this. Oh yeah, but you missed this out, or I asked you to do this, but you didn't do this. Could you please include this? Oh yes, I'm sorry, here this is again with this information. It's learning and adjusting. So have it as a companion in your pocket more than anything. I've got, look, I've got ChatGPT on my phone, as in the app. I've got Perplex on my phone as the app. You know, and I go to them for various things. So there are certain things I'll ask it and go through. So it helps me, even in my personal life, even my creativity mindset, in my day-to-day job, is there as my kind of my buddy in my pocket. You know, my little assistant that I can bounce things off and get ideas. And, you know, I need to do a foundation of something, and it can kind of set me off in the right direction, and it's there to help. So I would say let's not rely on AI permanently. I know a lot of students use ChatGPT to get their assignments done. And yes, there is a questionable amount on that, because it's like, what are they learning? And I think it's, again, showing the student or the apprentice or the individual of how to use ChatGPT effectively. Because to be honest, it can give you the fundamentals of what you need for an assignment, and it can help you explore and look for resources and provide you more information to set you off as a starter for 10. But I think in the education world, especially in teacher and training, when we look at this and we say, oh, okay, you got to do this assignment, you've got to answer these questions, and 10 to 1, they're probably going to go to ChatGPT, put in the question, get the answer, put it in, and the answers are going to sound very ChatGPT-like, because we all know what chat kind of, that if you use ChatGPT a lot, you kind of know what the answers kind of look like. And everybody kind of has the same answers, it's very similar. So I think we need to do an education piece around how to use ChatGPT in teaching and education, and how we can teach those that are potentially going to use it to use it in a productive and functional way that is not going to be a negative impact on their coursework, their assignments, but it's going to enhance their learning and support with their learning to make their learning a little bit quicker, to resource and find that information and help rewrite or structure their response. So for example, you could get them to write their assignment, get them to upload their assignment into ChatGPT and say, this is my assignment for this that I'm currently working on for my course or my apprenticeship. So, for example, you could say, I've written this documentation or this assignment for conflict management for my level 3 apprenticeship in Team Leader Supervisor. Could you check this for me and highlight anything that I may have missed? That could help me enhance my assignment. And it will read the assignment and it will suggest other things that you have missed or you could add in. You could say to it as well, you know, have I included enough theories and models? And if not, could you suggest a few that I could use? There we are. And where could I put these within the assignment? You can also ask it to check the assignment for any spelling errors, etc., and then provide you the correct version with those changes, example where there's the spelling, punctuation, grammar has been checked, and it will give you the document again, but it will give you the text with all spelling mistakes, punctuation and grammar all corrected for you. So someone with dyslexia or something, that could be very helpful for. But I think also it's key to remember that when people are using it, we need to teach them how to use it. So I do think there is an education piece. We just can't say to people, you can't use AI for your learning. Oh, you can. But as teachers, trainers, and educators and practitioners, we should be showing them how to use it in the right way. So many people say to me, oh, AI is not good for teaching education. Oh, it is, but let's do it the right way. It's not great for work because, you know, it speeds up your productivity. Your boss is going to think that you're doing nothing all day, so they'll cut your hours, whatever. No, it doesn't. Using ChatGPT, using Perplexity, even using Scribe. So for example, you know, I come across a new AI platform called Scribe. So Scribe is fantastic in that it lets me carry out a how-to guide, but an easier way. So I can capture what I'm doing, and it will take screenshots of all the errors I'm clicking and stuff, and it will, you know, theoretically write the how-to for me. But I still need to go back and adjust it and make the amendments and add another image or zoom in, and so I still need to make amendments to the document. But it means that I can do that. So, for example, I recently did that for someone in regards to downloading XML files from Opera to then upload into one of our systems. So we did the Scribe version, where it captured how to pull a report, for example, and then how we save that XML file, and then how we upload that XML file, which has been a godsend, because by doing it, still took a few hours to, you know, put the final bits together, add a couple of extra screenshots that were missed, read it correctly, make sure that it flowed right. So although that AI tool is great, I've still had to do a bit of work on it to make sure it reads correctly, as well as getting other people's inputs to make sure that the information that I'm putting in is relevant to what they need. But also, it's the same as this video AI. Now, video AI is still learning, and I've seen some, you know, video avatars and stuff that look great, but sometimes they are very static and very boring, and the voiceovers are great because they sound human-like, but they're not that great. Now, somebody gave me, I can't remember who gave me this to look at, but I can't remember the name of the AI, video AI now, but I've used it. And even with the various prompts I've used and tried, it does come up with some great kind of content. But again, you're having to check the content is correct. So just don't rely on it generating it for you. You've still got to check the content is correct and make sure the information provided is what the information you need and is actually relevant and current, and also relates to the country you're in. So if you're referring to something relating to UK laws and legislation and regulations, be careful that you clearly state it's relating to UK rules and regulations, because if you just put any foods, for example, could you create a food safety video for me, it's going to default to US. It does always defaults to US, and I find that with ChatGPT always defaults to US version of rules and regulations, when if you state the country you're in, then it will make those adjustments. But then sometimes when it auto generates that, it's the script or the content that needs to be reviewed and checked. And it's also the imagery as well. It's very generic. It's all stock base. It's nothing that you need. And sometimes it's irrelevant. And I've done some for housekeeping, and some of the images are very inappropriate, not relevant for what I'm looking for. So it's a bit pointless. I might as well just have recorded the video myself. Sometimes. So video AI is still learning in that commercial element for organizations. So I see all these wonderful organizations like, oh, my L&D department have saved thousands and thousands of pounds and hours by using this video AI. No, it doesn't. It's shit. And I'm going to say that, so what a warning, it's shit. And I find the video AI versions absolutely shit, because the avatars of it, as I say, are very static. They, you know, sometimes their mouths move not in line with the words that should tie up. Sometimes when you adjust the script, some of the words that they say do not sound right, or they sound mixed together when they shouldn't be. So video AI, no. Now I do use Lab 11. And admit that I use Lab 11 for audio translations, and audio translations on Lab 11 are brilliant. It's absolutely wonderful. Absolutely love it. Solely recommend it if you need translations, because I use ChatGPT Turbo to do the translation of the text, because it's spot on, and then I import that into Lab 11 and then convert that, and it gives me with a nice voiceover at the right speed, right pace, sounds like a human being, scary but good, and I use that for audio recordings. So for me, AI's got some good things, it's got some bad things. Video AI, it's got to improve. It's got to improve big time before I start using it. I'll stick to my iPhone 15 Pro Max and record my videos from that, thank you very much, and do my voiceovers as I would, or use the audio translation from ChatGPT, Perplex, and also, as I say, Scribe. So there are some that I use, and you probably think I'm plugging these, but I'm not, but these are the tools I use. So I have tools, and that's the key fun for this, people. That's what I'm saying. It's tools. These are tools. These are things at my disposal that I can pull upon to help me in my day-to-day work and life, to help me when needed. I'm not relying on them 100% of the time. I rely and use them when I need them. And then there are my little buddies, my little work friends, my little buddy in my pocket kind of thing. But I use them when I need them. And when I don't need them, I don't need them. So I think from this episode on using AI, I think it's a couple of things to take away from this as I begin to wrap up. Is one, AI is not going to take over the world. AI is not going to take all our jobs. It's going to be years before it even does that. But AI should be called L, artificial learning. It's still learning from what we're doing with it. It's still learning all the information that we're putting into it and what we give it. So don't worry, it's not going to take over the human race. It's just there because we're teaching it to learn and teaching it to help us. And it does. In terms of education and schooling, especially for apprenticeships and unis and those kind of things, when it comes to teaching education, I think we as teachers, trainers and professionals and practitioners need to do an education piece on how to use these AI tools effectively to support in the world of teaching and learning, and how it's going to support people to enhance and check their work, but also help those that suffer with dyslexia, dyscalculia, and things like that. Because I think it's key that those tools are there for them to know how to use. So they can talk to the AI, it's going to talk back, and it still keeps a kind of a thread or a history, chat history of what was said. So they've still got it there. It's going to help them spell check and put together a real structured piece of work. But again, we need to do something as teachers, trainers, educationists and practitioners around how students and individuals should use that effectively in the world of education. And then finally is just use AI as a friend in your pocket, your work buddy. Use it as a tool to support you in day-to-day life. It's already on our phones. It's been on our phones for years. As I say, it learns from what we do on TikTok to Facebook to Google. It's artificial learning. So it's always learning about you. Regardless, it's been learning about you for years. So why panic now? Because it's been doing it for years and years and years. And as we go through millennials and Gen Z, and we go through Gen Alpha and Gen X and everything else, these are the generations that AI has been around for and that it's learning from. So yes, it's learning, but it's learning to make our lives a little bit more easier. It's only as good as the information we've provided it anyway. So look, I think that's kind of my summary, my takeaways is, in education, let's do a piece around that for students on how to use it effectively and efficiently to support their learning and development. Let's put it in the real world for the, you know, wonderful world of corporate, and learn how to use it effectively and efficiently. And yes, as I say, there are AI ones out there for certain sectors. As I said, there is that HR advisory AI one. It's still in beta version. It's still learning. It's not as good as it should be, but it will only get better with the information we provide it. So there's lots of AI tools out there. So many you could go. I could go on for hours and hours of different AI tools. But have a look. Find ones that are there to help and support. Again, really look at how effective that tool is for you, and is it giving you exactly what you want, Or is it just something that somebody is creating and working on, and it's using and learning from its users to become better over time? Because like ChatGPT, it's developed over the years with the amount of users and people that are using it and the information that's inputted, and it's always continuously learning all the time. Hence why I'm calling it OWL, not AI. So guys, look, I hope this has been a bit interesting, a bit of insight into the world of AI and how I think it should be used and how I use it. But look, don't be afraid of AI. As I say, use it as a friend in your pocket. Use it to support you in your day-to-day work. Use it to help in some of those fundamental things. For example, I love ChatGPT Data Analyst. I can put things in there to be analyzed that would take me hours upon hours to analyze. It analyzes it quickly, but then also I can sit there for another hour asking it various questions about the data, pull certain bits of information out, get it to create a new spreadsheet for me, all sorts of things. But I've still got work to do. Again, it's learning from what I'm wanting. So it's not, it can do everything just like that. It's learning from what I'm wanting it to do. So it has the information I've given it. It can provide me with some insights, but I need to pull and drag more out of it from what I'm actually looking for. So there we are. That's a little bit about AI data analytics. But look, as I say, I hope this episode has given you a bit more insight into AI and how it can be used and what we need to do with it, and not to be kind of afraid of it and just carry on using it naturally. It's not going to replace everybody's jobs. Trust me, it's not, because it's the machines are only as good as the users. We all know that. So look, guys, thank you for listening to this episode. And I know it's been a while since I have done an episode. So yes, we are now back. So this week's obviously been about AI. Next week, I'm going to delve into a little bit about Ofsted and how that's now changing. And how does that look on the landscape for not only the education sector, but for FE and apprenticeships as well? As we all know, Ofsted plays a big role in that, especially in training providers funding, especially when they get graded a 3 or a 4. Now, guys, again, thank you for listening to this week's episode. Please do go back and listen to previous episodes of Say As It Is with Pete. They are easy accessible on Apple Podcasts, Samsung, Amazon Music, Google, wherever you get your podcasts from, rss.com, they're on Spotify. So wherever you get your episodes from, thank you very much. Keep listening, keep liking, keep sharing. And if you feel that anyone could benefit from listening about this AI, then please do forward it and share it on. But guys, thank you again for listening to and tuning into another episode of Say It Is with Pete. I have been your host, Pete, and I will see you on next week's episode.